Noah.
He hates these cans.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, my.
The showbiz offers are pouring in.
We think he needs a serious back massage.
Friday movie time. Kristen Meinzer is away this week, but here with us is Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday and co-host, along with Kristen, of the Movie Date podcast. Hey, Rafer.
Hi, John.
So in the middle of a water emergency in California, you can bet Water Diviner is not a Hollywood movie. Listen.
What are you doing with your farmer?
There's a supply ship back to Constantinople in 2 days.
Maybe we could help him until then.
You know what the chances of finding his boys are.
We have the day they were killed. I know the area.
Yeah, we both know it, but why change everything for one father who can't stay put?
Because he's the only father who came looking.
So what's the premise here? And this is actually a Russell Crowe movie, although you don't hear him in that clip.
And it's his directorial debut as well. He is playing an Australian farmer who lost his 3 sons in Gallipoli during World War One. He's going to go to Turkey and claim his sons' bodies. He has a kind of mystical ability to find water using divining rods. And he's going to use those same powers to locate the bodies of his sons. I think at its best, this is a good old-fashioned romantic war movie. It looks lovely, gorgeous, some good scenes in it. One problem is it's generated some controversy because of its portrayal of the Turks and is completely whitewashes over the Armenian genocide.
Really?
And it's being released on the very anniversary today of the Armenian genocide. So it's gotten a little hot water for that. I think maybe Russell Crowe picked the wrong war to hang this movie on, but...
Although he's Australian, right? Crowe?
I think he is New Zealand.
New Zealand.
No.
Well, he's from that area.
He's from that area.
You can't overstate the importance of Gallipoli mythologically in the terms of the history of Australia. That's true.
But I also think this is very, very tricky, complicated, and still very sensitive territory to be wading into when really what your story is kind of an old-fashioned 1940s style, you know, war and romance and love kind of story. And I feel like that trivializes the backdrop a little bit.
So succeeds as regular movie, but probably fails on the controversy side.
I think on the politics side, I think it's going to strike a lot of people. It's a little dubious.
Number two is A Little Boy, and let's hear a clip.
How are you going to bring Dad back, you idiot?
Like with the mustard seed, you can move a mountain.
Fine. Want to move a mountain? There's one. Go ahead, move it.
The trailers of this are all over YouTube. If you go to YouTube, you see millions of these trailers. This is really looks like a tearjerker. It's designed to be a real tearjerker.
It's also a faith-based movie. It's from the producers of Son of God. And if you knew that going in, you might be expecting something that was going to hit you over the head a little bit with its religious message. It's gotten some bad reviews so far, but I am one of the critics that actually liked it. It's about a little boy who thinks he can bring his father back from World War II with just his power of faith. I think what I liked about this movie is it's non-denominational. It doesn't really say to you that you've got to pray to any one God. It just says the power of faith itself in the most general way can work. And I thought it was actually really good and really interesting, especially for a faith-based movie.
Family pick?
Family pick, but a little serious. It does not gloss over the realities of World War II, either the bombing of Japan nor the anti-Japanese sentiment here in America. So it does get a little grown up at times. Otherwise, family friendly.
Movie number three, Age of Adeline. Am I pronouncing that correctly?
You are.
All right. So if you stumbled over the Star Wars trailer and saw old Harrison Ford, you might end up looking at this movie.
Don't you miss having someone to love? It's been such a long time. Oh, it's not the same when there's no future.
What are you talking about? You got nothing but future.
I mean a future together, of growing old together. Without that love is, it's just heartbreak.
Emotion all over this. What'd you think?
Very much so. Blake Lively plays an eternally youthful person. She's stuck at the age of 29 for the last 100 years. That's Ellen Burstyn playing her daughter. Very weepy, very serious. Could have been fun with some flashbacks, but it really goes the Nicholas Sparks route.
And on the podcast this week?
We'll be up a couple days late, but we're going to take a look at summer, and we've got the president of the National Book Critics Circle who's going to tell us the 5 books you should read now before they become movies.
Well done. We wish Kristen Meinzer the best. Rafer Guzman, film critic for Newsday and co-host of the Movie Date podcast. Have a great weekend.
You too, John.